Thanks for tuning in to the Good Glow podcast today with Hannah Saunders. The season of the Good Glow is brought to you with thanks to Yoplait Skier. At Yoplait, quality is their passion and their commitment to health and nutrition starts with the sourcing of ingredients. Three core values, pleasure, simplicity and joy, help Yoplait deliver healthy, delicious and nutritious pots of enjoyment to their customers. So let's talk about Skier. Well, it's a great nutritious yogurt. It's a creamy Icelandic recipe. Like Greek yogurt, it's packed full of protein, fat-free, and Yoplait Skier has only one ingredient, milk. I personally love their big pots, and Skier Natural 850 gram is available across stores nationwide. Thanks for tuning in today for this chat between Hannah and I. So I suppose looking at Hannah Saunders, life just seemed so perfect. She is the founder and director of Hannah Saunders PR. Still in her early 30s, she has built her brand off the back of hard work, commitment and an impeccable eye for detail. She worked in New York and London before it was time to bring her hugely successful business home to Dublin. And then it was time for Hannah and her husband Richie to go on their greatest adventure yet, becoming doting parents to Brody and surrounding themselves with the people they love most in the world, their families. Recently, Hannah took the bravest step one could take by speaking out and telling the world that as a child, she was sexually abused. She didn't tell anybody, even her family, until she was in her early 20s. When I think of Hannah, I think of the words strength, resilience, kindness, openness, generosity. She is turning her pain into her power and saving lives by telling her story. I'm deeply honored to speak to Hannah today. And while the unimaginable happened to her, today is about her rising, her power. And believe me, there is no stopping Hannah Saunders. I am in awe of her, and I know you will be too. As always, I've left important phone numbers in the show notes. Hannah Saunders, welcome to the Good Glow. How are you today?
I am great, thank you. I'm feeling good. It's my husband's birthday. My baby turns 5 months tomorrow. My dog turns one on Friday. There's a lot happening this week.
Oh, and I love your life. I love watching. Actually, I was like, the first question I need to ask Hannah is, how does she do it all? And looks so glam and amazing on the outside. So tell us, behind the scenes, it has to be crazy, right?
Yeah, I was just away with my crazy family there for Easter. We all go to Kerry every Easter. And my sister was saying that to me. She was like, do you just have more hours in the day than most? Or how does this work, Hannah? But no, I think, I guess I just, I don't sit down often, Georgie. So this is nice. No, do you know what? I've just always been a bit of a go, go, go person. But then at the same time, I absolutely know how to switch off as well. And like, I love my self-care. I love my spa days. So I think as much as like 90% of the time it's go, 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 10% of the time I'm also like horizontal.
Well, that's good to know. And yeah, I was following your gorgeous weekend with your family. And I think when I think of you, I think of family. The closeness is so evident. How important are they to you?
Oh, sure. You know, I'm sure you'd say the same. And like, I know you've such a gorgeous relationship with your mom too, who I've met with you at events before. And yeah, family, it's everything. It really, really is. And I think we're so lucky to feel that way about our families because, you know, as the saying goes, you can choose your friends, not your family. And not everybody has an amazing relationship with their families and that, and that's okay. But I feel so unbelievably lucky to have incredible relationships with family, from siblings to parents to in-laws. I think about how lucky I am to just be surrounded by people who I get on with as friends, you know, first and foremost, and kind of family second. You know, we do anything for each other. We really, really, really would. Like my family WhatsApp group is without a doubt my most active WhatsApp group on my phone.
What's it called?
tea with the parents.
Okay.
I think it was set up one day when we were like booking dinner or something many years ago, and it just kept with that crappy title. But yeah, I mean, they're the first people I tell anything to, whether it's good news or bad news. And I think we're just, yeah, as families go, I think we're incredibly supportive of each other. We have a lot of fun together. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And it's kind of always been like that. Like I, you know, especially with my mom has always been my mate. And I think that's something I know that I'd love to have now that I've become a mom, is to be a role model to my son, but also to be his friend. And I think that's kind of the balance that we all strive for as parents. And my parents did a very good job at finding that balance with me, that's for sure.
Would you say then, when you think about your family, is there a before and after in terms of when you had to share with them what had happened to you?
I think I would describe it as there's a bit of a black hole in the timeline of our family. There's the before, then there's the sort of during that time of speaking out, that is just a phase that I, even more so than when the, I suppose, what happened to me happened, that sort of in-between phase are like a couple of years that if I had it my way, I'd just erase them and wish they never happened because they were so tough. And then there's the after coming out the other side. So kind of like the light at the end of the tunnel. I suppose the most important thing before I say anything is that the after has been the best chapter, and it has brought all of us so much closer together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it absolutely changed my family 100%. It couldn't not have. And I'm sure that would be the case for any families who have had, I suppose, these deep secrets and skeletons in the closet that have then been uprooted. I think actually it would be really tough for things not to have changed. And I think it's important that change happened. And, you know, I suppose in case maybe, Georgie, some people aren't aware who I am or haven't heard kind of my story before, but in terms of what we're speaking about is child sexual abuse. And that's something that I suffered as a child, and so did other victims. And the fact that my parents were so understanding, and I mean, understanding is such a, it's one word, but there were so many different levels to this, to trying to understand and to digest what had happened, and then also then try and move forward and do something about it. There's been so many levels to everything. And I think it would really, really upset me if I now looked back on speaking out about something like this and to feel that actually, as I said, no change happened, and that actually it was taken on board and then it was brushed right back onto the carpet where I lived in the first place. That would have been harder. Yes, of course, there was so much upset along the way, and this is the kind of stuff that can absolutely break families, split them in two. But to be honest with you, I was willing to take that risk because I knew in my heart of hearts that my family would believe me, would have my back and would support me. I knew that deep down, but I also knew that this was going to change things forever. And was I ready and was I prepared for that change?
Yeah. And can you talk to us a little bit about what happened to you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was very, very young when it happened to me. I was, I was abused by somebody that we were supposed to trust, an adult, someone who was known to my family. And so at the time, I didn't think what was happening to me was wrong, because as children, we're conditioned to trust adults, to respect our elders. And if an adult says to you, this is our secret, you know, when you're a 7-year-old child, that's Bible. You like, I'm sure there's been scenarios, I even know now, having like 4 little nieces, like jokingly, you know, we'd say things like, now don't tell your mummy I gave you 2 chocolates, not 1. They don't tell. They do not tell. And that's now a very innocent comparison. But unfortunately, when little kids have little brains and they absorb so much and they're amazing little people. But actually, as I said, if there is an ounce of fear or you're scared of an adult or you're scared that you might be given out to, it's really terrifying what kids are willing to hide in order to not get in trouble. And so I think it happened to me. I mean, I remember the junior school that I went to, I kind of marked the times against the uniforms that I wore. And we kind of went, there was a uniform that you wore at certain ages. And I remember it happening to me when I was in both uniforms. So it was over the course of many years until it stopped. And I didn't, again, I never... at the time, never spoke about it because I was so young, and it wasn't really until I got into secondary school that I, for the first time, realized that what had happened to me was really, really bad. And that was, I think, in like a sex ed class or something when I was in like first year in secondary school or something like that. And sure, at that time, like, you know, you have a million one other things to be worrying about. And for me, it was just like, make friends, fit in. You don't need to be the different girl in the class now. And so I just made that decision with myself. Okay, I acknowledge that something bad happened, but I'm going to bury that.
Can I ask you, Hannah, like what that moment was for you, that you realized something had happened to you and that it was wrong?
Do you know, I sometimes almost forget. I remember that moment happening, but I so quickly chose to forget it, if that makes sense. I just said, no, I can't. I cannot process this. I'm too young. I'm too vulnerable. This is going to absolutely break my family. Maybe no one will believe me. At that point, I thought I was on my own. I thought I was the only victim. Later in years, it came out that I was absolutely not the only victim. And I just, at that point, I was still so young. I think I was, what would I have been, maybe 13? You know, you're still like a kid at 13. You know, in ways you're not, but in ways you are. And I couldn't find the words. I didn't have the words.
So it was a secret that you kept. But then when it was explained to you in school, in a classroom, about inappropriate behavior, that is when you realized that what had happened to you was different to other people's experiences of childhood, and this was something that was wrong.
Yes. And I think when I look back, and I do, I've really, like, unfortunately, I have very vivid memories and clear memories of everything. And, you know, I could tell you what color was on the walls. I could tell you what the wardrobe door handles looked like. I can tell you everything so, so clearly. And at the time, I knew I was uncomfortable. I knew that this wasn't normal. And, you know, as I mentioned at the start of our chat, Georgie, like, I have always been so close with my parents. And that's how scary this is, because, and that's why this happens. And that's why people like me are put into these categories of historic victims and everything, because you'd be so surprised of what you're willing to keep from people who you do trust and love so much, and you know who loves you. I wish, I honestly, it's like the biggest regret of my life is, why didn't I just tell my mum and dad? Why didn't I just tell them there and then? Because so much would have been different. But look, you can't live your life in a shoulda, coulda, woulda kind of mindset. I knew something wasn't good. And the reason I knew that is because I didn't tell my mum and dad, particularly my mum.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as a little girl, your mummy is your world. It's the silence. It's the not telling one person. That's when the abuser wins. Mm. For me, I think I was 16 when I first mentioned it to my one person, but very, very loosely. I didn't go into detail. I just mentioned to a friend that I think something might have happened to me, and they remember it. Like, they're still one of my best friends. And I remember one day she was like, I'm so sorry that, you know, when all of this, when we did talk about things properly down the line, she said, I'm so sorry, at the time we should have done something then. But again, you're 16, you know, you're, again, you think of some 16-year-olds as being so adult, but actually you're only 16, you know. And again, it's all about words and finding the words and being able to get those words out of your mouth. Like, even now when I talk to you, and when you know, when you say, can you tell me what happened to you? Like, I still so struggle with saying I was sexually abused. Like I struggle with that word and that sentence so much, even though I've talked to so many friends about it. I've talked about it a little bit more publicly in recent, kind of in the last sort of 6 to 10 months. Even now, like when I am passionate about talking about this subject and I'm 33 years of age, I really struggle with that word. So I don't beat my 16-year-old self up for not being able to spit those words out, because it's not an easy thing to say. It really isn't.
Yeah. Oh my God. And it must be so hard to say every single time. Every single time, it's probably like the first time you're saying it out loud. And it's, I cannot imagine what it's like. That's why I just have so much admiration for you. So you made a pact with yourself in your teenage years to bury this.
Yeah, I did. And years later, basically my sister's mental health was not in a good place.
Can I ask if your sister is older or younger?
My sister's 4 years older.
Your sister's 4 years older. Okay.
And basically, you know, I was kind of trying to help her and I was trying to figure things out. And I was like, why can't I help her? What's wrong? Like, why is she sad? And then that's when we realized that I wasn't alone and that this had happened to my sister too. So then I was in my, Caroline would have been in her kind of early to mid 20s, and I was in my early 20s. And again, like myself and Caroline are joint at the hip. And that was the first time I went over to her house and she said, you know, I need to talk to you about something. And when she said that, I just knew straight away. And I was like, no. And we both just kind of hugged each other. And the thing is, she, because she was a little bit older, she wasn't able to bury it. You know, this really lived with her every day. But because I was a little bit younger when it ended, I was at that age where I was able to bury it. I mean, whether or not my sister had said it to me in years to come, I know for a fact, Georgie, that it would have come up to absolutely eat me and destroy me at some point. But because my sister was so brave to finally speak out about it, that's what then encouraged me to speak out about it. And then from that day forward, we've done everything together. We've had each other's backs through this. We've spoken out to our family together. And so we've just kind of been like each other's sort of like pillars of strength really through it all. And, you know, because she knew it had happened to me. So she had the burden of what had happened to her, but also the burden of knowing that this had happened to her little sister.
How did she know, Hannah?
Like she'd seen it happen. Yeah. And this person, as I said, was, they were known to our family and, you know, we would have been there quite often, you know, for kind of like, you know, reasons after school and when parents are working and that kind of thing. And so, you know, it was no secret to like, I think either of us. I think I just never let it get into my head that it could have been anybody else other than me. I just didn't want to think about that. But unfortunately, it wasn't just us either.
So that day then that you found out that it had happened to your sister too, was that the moment where everything changed?
Yeah, that was the day our lives changed forever. That was the day that I told Richie for the first time as well. I've been with Richie since I was 16. So I don't think he knew about it for about 7 years. So yeah, my sister said it to me and then I was with her for hours and then I went home and then obviously had to explain to Richie what had happened. So again, our little awful, I suppose, what had happened to us being so awful by speaking out that day, day by day, we were kind of building our little army of support. So it kind of went from me being on my own to me having my sister, to my sister having her husband, to me having Richie. Then there was four of us in it. Then it was, okay, time to tell mum and dad and our brother. Then there was, we were building our little army, you know, that way slowly but surely. So as I said, there is that kind of period when it all was kind of unraveling that it was just horrible. And having to have those conversations again and again was just, you know, deeply upsetting because you weren't just upsetting yourself by talking about it. You were greatly upsetting the people you were telling who love you and have known you your whole life and just couldn't believe that this had happened. And, you know, as my parents will say, like their baby, like when I think now, like I know my little boy is only 5 months, but I'm sure you'll say the same with your two children. Like the thought of anything bad happening to them in their entire life is just, it's a horrible, horrible thought and the guilt that comes with that and everything. But I suppose I've been trying for for many years now to try and remind people that there's only one person who is guilty and there's only one evil person in this scenario and it's no one else's fault. And that's what I truly believe. I don't blame anybody else. I just blame that person.
Must have been like such incredible comfort for your parents also to see how strong you were in that time, because that must have helped a little bit, you know, the process that they had to go through, and it must have been just such an incredible shock for them. So it's that horrible feeling of, you know, it has to get worse before it gets better. Like, and we could spend our whole lives trying to avoid that feeling and to hope that day never comes. And there you were in the center of it. But like the way you describe it is so beautiful, that you're just building your army.
And I want them to always feel like that, because I keep referring to the victims and the community of people that I speak to about this. And unfortunately, there's more than you would care to think of. So many people out there living normal day-to-day lives that have these absolute horrendous skeletons that have happened to them that they have not been able to speak out about. And that is because they don't feel like their army is going to support them. So I just feel so grateful that mine did. And I'm sure there were times where maybe they wished but it might have been easier for me to not be so vocal at times, but it's just not in my nature, Georgie. And as I said, I just felt that I deserved to have my voice heard, and that I wanted, maybe because I am a strong person, I wanted to maybe share my strength with other people who may never speak out, but who maybe get a little bit of comfort from hearing someone else speak out. Because I know I do. I've always been so inspired. Way before I ever spoke out, I'd read so many books written by victims and them unraveling their truths. I've watched the Late Show with victims that come on it and speak out. And I've always watched, obviously with a tear in my eye, but with such admiration for how they're able to stand up there and speak out. I've always had such admiration for that. So I think as the years went on, I kind of just thought to myself, well, if they can do it, so can I. And I think my mum and dad, like, they know that that's the right thing for me to do. It mightn't be the right thing for certain people, but for me it is. And I think as well, like, the kind of work that I do, and even with Instagram and stuff, I'm sometimes like, what's the point in having this following if you actually can't make a difference? Like, yeah, the fashion and the beauty stuff is fun, but like, really, if there's something that you could actually make a little change into someone's life, then, and you have that platform, I think use it. Like, you've used your platform so incredibly, Georgie, over the years, and how you've inspired people and people going through illness to show them, like, you know, what, you know, perseverance, hope, resilience, you know, what that can do for you. And so I think, you know, I think sometimes we all just get that light bulb moment that says you should be doing something with your voice. And for me, this was a subject that obviously I'm so passionate about, and realized that maybe in a way I was supposed to have this following, and it's because I needed to share my story with people.
And it's like, I'm not one for a cringy Instagram quote, but it's like, turn your pain into purpose. And that's what you did. How did you go from one extreme of like not even telling your soulmate to where you are now? Is it therapy? Is it like, how did you get there?
Firstly, it was therapy for sure. I was living in London at the time, and therapist that my sister was going to recommended a lady who lived near me that she thought I could go to. Like, she was the first lady who I said to that. I said, I want to go to the police. I want to move this forward. And she was absolutely on my side, and she was like, yes, you should, you absolutely should. And so she just kind of was like, she was so reassuring that what I was doing was not necessarily right, but that it was going to help me. She knew that I needed to not close the door on this, and that by telling my immediate family just wasn't enough for me.
Yeah.
It went from, as you said, complete silence and burying this under the carpet for so many years to complete mayhem, really. From dealing with multiple police, to dealing with lawyers, to dealing with courts. I remember sitting in the four courts in Dublin. I remember sitting there with other people who were in handcuffs, you know, who'd probably, I don't know what, robbed shops or whatever. And I'm sitting in there, like, I remember hiding. I remember putting my hood up because I was so embarrassed if someone saw me. I didn't want them to think I'd done something wrong. And it was just, those few years were just absolutely crazy. I was, as I said, I was living in London, but I was flying back and forth to Dublin all the time for various meetings in very ugly police stations and very grey rooms. And some police handle things a lot better than others. I know from talking to a family friend whose sister works in the police force now, I believe in the last couple of years, things have gotten a little bit better. And as I said about the police force in Ireland, there are actually kind of specialist teams that you can go to about these kind of subjects. Because again, kind of the first person that I went to in the local station, it was very clear they were used to giving parking tickets and not dealing with what I had to deal with. And again, it's so upsetting. Like these, yeah, I honestly could write a book on the process of speaking out in Ireland because it is horrible. It really, really yeah. is. And I'm very honest about that to people, because when I do have people coming to me to tell me that they were abused by a neighbor, by a teacher, by a family member, by a friend's dad, all the things that I am told, and I say to them, well, you have to speak out, you have to go forward. But I remind them that it's not easy, and it is not a straight road. And there's a lot of upset along the way. And I remember dealing with someone in the sort of child services agency in Ireland. I won't say their name without kind of saying their name. But I remember they turned to me and they said, you've got no proof. Like, and even if that is the fact, and unfortunately what they can only go by, they need to find better ways of phrasing things and how to handle conversations and how to make you feel less vulnerable and less like you're a mistake and why did you bother going there. And it kind of wasn't really until I actually decided to just call a charity one day. Like, they're a charity for victims of abuse, and that was kind of the first time that I really was met with such empathy and kindness, and it felt like a support group.
And who is that charity, Hannah?
And they are called One in Four No More, and that's based on the statistic of one in four people are abused.
So after like going to the guards, going to, you know, everyone who you think you should go to first, the people that actually helped you were the charity.
They helped me in terms of their words and their support. And it is an incredible charity, because they're there to support you. Maybe if you don't want to speak to your family or your friends, or, and you know, you can go, and they have kind of advisory groups and that kind of thing. Whereas I wish I had called them first and said, how do I go about this? Who should I go to first? Yeah. You know, what I was saying earlier was that there was the kind of before, then there was this phase of the kind of couple of years of trying to get justice in some sense of the word, and then the after. And the after, I suppose, is the realization that I was not going to be able to get justice for myself or the fellow victims in this particular situation in the legal sense. But by kind of then making a decision that the road doesn't end here and we are going to make change in other ways, I've, you know, slowly but surely have been feeling that I'm getting a little bit of justice by speaking out, because unfortunately the powers that be in Ireland were not there to support us.
There's no words for that. Yeah. So tell me then about the after, because can you tell me about the day that you posted your story publicly? So you had your army and it was building and building and building. And you said that you'd gotten comfortable to talk to people that weren't in your immediate circle about it. So your, you know, your friends, boyfriends and people like that. So a lot of people probably knew. Tell me the day that I found out is when you published it on Instagram. Tell me about that day.
Yeah. So it was, it really was life changing. It really, really was. And I was met with just such an incredible outpouring of support, of upset from a lot of people, but in a kind way. And it made instantly when I did it, I felt it was the right thing for me to do.
Yeah.
The community online has just been so incredible, like a massive big sisterhood. I'm sure you felt that at times too, Georgie. Yeah, that day was intense. But after that, I kind of woke up the next day and I was like, okay, I feel good now. I'm happy I did it.
Can you remember what you did that night or anything about that day?
Yeah, I was flying to New York.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was on a flight. So I couldn't actually, it was good because I couldn't kind of read a lot of the messages and stuff like that. So I was with Richie and we are going over to see my mum and dad. My dad lives in America. So it was really nice to kind of not be in Ireland and to be away and almost kind of celebrated in a weird way. And you know, was obviously as you have with Jamie, like Richie's just been an absolute, the leader of the army for me. And yeah, he's always had my back with it and he's supported me so much. And again, I'm sure it makes things awkward for him at times. I'm sure people ask him questions and, you know, by me speaking out all the time, I'm sure can put him in positions that he doesn't need to be in. But he has never, ever once ever said anything like that. He's always said, you need to just keep going, Hannah, and keep shouting about it. And yeah, has just been such a huge support. So it was nice that it was just kind of the two of us away for that moment.
Just a short break to thank Yoplait's Gear for supporting the Good Glow this season and helping me bring these really important conversations to the world. I love quality ingredients when it comes to my food, and lots of you will know that I am, I'll admit it, happiest in the kitchen. So how did I use Skyr this week? Well, this week's recipe is an alternative to sour cream, so you might like it. My favourite dinner is tacos, and I'm currently loving black bean tacos served with Skyr yogurt, coriander and lime dressing. It's really tasty, really healthy. Head over to thegoodglow.ie for this week's recipe, and don't forget you can pick up an 850 gram tub of Skyr Natural in stores nationwide. I picked mine up in Dunn's this week.
And I'm just so glad that you have that now. You know, you're not suffering in silence. Like, from someone looking in at you, you're such a good person. You're amazing at what you do. You're incredibly successful business, your friends, your family. I'm just so glad that you don't. And there is somebody we know who is suffering in silence, yeah. Somebody who we love and admire, yeah, and look on at is suffering in silence with this. But I'm so glad that's not your story. And I think by you speaking out, you're going to set other people free. Would you say that speaking out has set you free? Are you free of this now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's speaking out is freeing. There are things that it did to me that will never be gone from me. Like panic attacks, for example, and, you know, I was diagnosed with PTSD and all of that kind of stuff. Like, they're the kind of things that are like underlying, that are just there. And unfortunately, I think I'll keep trying, but they're hard to completely rid of. And there's obviously things that trigger me and things that I wish didn't but do. And you know, there'll always be a part of me that I think, you know, was sort of taken in a way, and that I'll never get back. But I also feel that because of what happened to me and how I have kind of reacted to the situation, I kind of said, you know what, this ain't going to define me. And I think I've worked harder. I think I've felt I deserve more. And I like absolutely live my best life. Like, I really, really, really do. And I work hard for that. But I also, I just say, feck it, you deserve to be happy. You deserve to have the good things. You deserve to do things right. And I think, you know, I went through enough. I couldn't care what anyone says about me, you know, the way I'm like, if I can get through that, I can get through whatever, yeah, anyone says to me, to be honest. So like, it's definitely given me a suit of armor. So yeah, I try to just look for the positives that's come out of a very, very traumatic time.
Yeah. And it's like, I just picked up on what you said, Asher, I deserve that. Yeah. And for so many of us, we deprive ourselves of things, yeah, or, you know, the night out or whatever it is, like, say to yourself, I deserve this. Yeah. Of course you do. It's a lovely way to look at life. And I feel like you will live a beautiful life if you look at it that way. Can you tell me about your last five-star moment? So a moment where, you know, it could be something so simple, but it was just everything aligned and you just had pure gratitude for that moment.
Probably, do you know, I think probably just after, I'd say, Brody was born. I think we lost our father-in-law, Richie's dad, on Christmas Day this year after he had a very long, amazing journey in a sense with an illness that he absolutely battled through with almighty positivity and strength and resilience. But unfortunately, in the end, he's no longer with us. However, we didn't think he was going to make it to meet Brody, and he did. And we had 7 weeks of five-star moments of Eugene being with Brody and the most amazing photos and videos and messages. And I've like one message on my phone that says, I wake up in the morning thinking about Brody and I go to bed at night dreaming about Brody. And that's just the kind of stuff that I feel like that just carries you through. And in all the sadness of losing him, we just, as you said, we have those five-star moments with him, and we just feel so, so lucky that we got those incredible 7 weeks, and it's just helped us all so, so much to get through this time.
Wow, that's beautiful. And Brody will forever have that message. Yeah. You should like print it out and frame it.
That's a really nice idea, actually. We should.
I'm so sad we didn't get to talk about Eugene more on this podcast, because everything I've read about him that you guys have shared really moved me. And I know I texted you at the time just being like, your words were so beautiful. You have a beautiful way with words, Hannah. And thinking of all of Richie's family and Richie, and I know it's such a difficult time for you guys, but you are a pillar of strength, I'm sure, in all of their lives. And thank you so much for sharing so much with me today. I appreciate it so much.
Of course. Well, you know what, you've always been such an amazing person and so supportive, and I feel incredibly comfortable talking to you, and I hope that the community that I know you have created is so incredible. And you know, watching everything you've done with like the New York trips and how your community is just growing and growing, and that's all down to you supporting people and making people feel like that it's a welcoming environment to be in and to be a part of. So I mean, I'm very honored to be a little part of it today, so thank you.
Oh, thanks, Hannah. Okay, I'll be down to you for a hug very soon. A massive, massive thank you to Hannah for everything today. And if you would like to send her a message, please, please do. I have left a link to her Instagram page in the show notes. She was so brave and so generous in sharing her story today. And I am so excited for her after, which is full of love and connection and strength. Thank you so much for tuning in today. In other news, we are getting ready to launch our Run Club. All you need to do is join our mailing list for all the details on where and when the runs will be taking place. And I've also left a link for that in the show notes. See you next week.